Hello, everyone, and welcome to 24 Shades of Blue. My name is Anime, and I am your host for this exciting podcast for everything related to the Toronto Police Service. Have you noticed that no one answers their phones anymore? Yeah, well, it's probably because there are just so many phone fraud scams. Today, we're going to be talking just about that, about how scams have evolved and how to really protect ourselves. So today with us, we have Detective David Coffey. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Anime. It's a pleasure to be here.
David, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I'm a detective here at Toronto Police Financial Crimes Unit. I investigate frauds. I've been here since 2020. And I'm part of the section known as the corporate section, also known as the major crimes or major fraud section. And we investigate large scale, multi-jurisdictional frauds that happen in the city of Toronto and across the country.
But scams, they're not a new thing. We've had scams since the beginning of time. Can you talk about where have scams started and where we are today?
Well, you're exactly right. They've literally been here since probably time began. Fraud in its dumbed down definition is theft by trickery. That's what fraud is. That's the definition that we all learn at the Ontario Police College. It's theft by trickery. So instead of somebody reaching their hand into your back pocket trying to steal your wallet, they're hoping that you give them the cash out of your wallet by them tricking you. So it's been around forever and it just evolves. It has the same characteristics. There's different variations of it, but at the end of the day, they're all fraudsters trying to trick people out of their money.
And how have scams and fraud scams changed throughout the time? What are we seeing right now?
Well, with the advent of, we go back 20, 25 years ago to the internet, technology is a major factor in frauds. So that's probably been the greatest advancement in frauds is technology. It's the internet. It's social media. It's email. It's text messages. People don't communicate by telephone as much anymore. They don't communicate. We don't write letters anymore. It's all electronic. It's all immediate. And they can send out massive amounts of it in a split second. So it's really been, technology has been a great asset to fraudsters.
So we talk about technology and there's a lot of bias that technology as related to younger people. But what demographic of people are getting targeted for these fraud scams? Is it only young people is it the older generation?
Right. So to answer that question, there is no target. There's no generation that's not being targeted. They're all being targeted, right? From as soon as you have a cell phone, as soon as you have an email address, as soon as you have text messages coming into your phone, you're going to be a target of fraud. Our single most targeted per se community is our elderly community. And I always ask them when I meet with them, why do you think that is? And one of the answers they always give is, first, they say they're gullible, which to me, I always say, well, that just means you're nice and you're compassionate and you're loving and you're caring. But they also say they're not as tech savvy. They'll say, you know, we don't know it as much, which may be true. Some are pretty savvy, but they haven't grown up with the internet. They haven't grown up with social media. They may have just gotten onto certain social media to stay in touch with family or with friends, and they don't understand exactly where it's going to and what information to put out there. So technology is a mechanism that allows fraudsters to reach every demographic, every group, every age group, right across the board. Some are more susceptible to it than others.
Right. That makes sense. And so, there are all of these different fraud scams and you're saying they're targeted for either the older generation, the younger generation. What are the top three fraud scams happening right now?
Well, again, back to the elderly. So probably the top fraud scams in the last 2 or 3 years has been what's been known as the grandparent scam.
What's that?
So it's a particularly horrific crime. Which basically targets our most beloved members of our society, our elderly people. And what's happening in really quick is they receive a phone call from a person who purports to be a grandchild. They say they're in trouble. They're in jail. They've been in an accident. And they've hurt somebody. And they need money. They need cash. So it's a variation of what's known as an emergency scam. basically they reach out to the grandparent, and COVID made it more effective because people became more isolated. Elderly may or may not have seen their grandchild in the last couple of years. They may not, people move away, their families move away to the other side of the country and stuff. So those are all vulnerabilities that are picked on by these fraudsters. So then literally we have our elderly people walking to the bank, taking taxis to the bank and taking out sums of cash. And then the fraudsters are showing up at their door and the elderly are handing over cash to these people. So it's particularly heinous. And when we see the images of these people, of the victims using walkers and being helped into the bank by the fraudsters, it's just, it's really, really heinous. And it really gets our ire up at financial crimes.
Mm-hmm, that's terrible. And so, but I mean, that's the elderly. How about
right.
younger generation? Someone, how about me? What's, am I being targeted?
Well, you are susceptible. There's frauds targeting the Asian community.
Right. How so? I need to take note.
Well, for every day, you may or may not get, we all get them. I get the phone calls from an Asian speaking Mandarin or Cantonese speaking, and they all purport to be from the Chinese government. And they may say, oh, something's happened in China. Something's happened, you know, back from where they may have originally come from. And maybe somebody's in trouble there and they need money. And usually it's the same tactics. It's fear tactics. It's urgency tactics. And they basically scare these people into sending money to them, saying it's going to the government of China or something to that variation. So that, yeah, that's a prevalent scam as well.
Right.
We have right now, which is prevalent based on the change of season, renovation scams.
What do they do?
Roofing scams. They'll knock on your door and say, hey, you need your roof to be reshingled. Give me $10,000 and I'll have a crew out tomorrow to do
it. But do people actually fall for that?
They do, because it's the time of year and they know it. The fraudsters know that this is the time of year people start looking at their house. It's the snow's gone, winter's over, it's springtime. So you start thinking about renovating your home. And they know that, and they pick on that vulnerability. And that's what fraudsters do. They take advantage of vulnerabilities of their victims, whether they be elderly, whether they be young, whether they be homeowners, whether they be business people. It's all about vulnerabilities that they take advantage of. So in a renovation or the roofing, they'll show up and say, hey, you've got a hole in your roof. And it may or may not even be a homeowner who knows that they have a hole in their roof. They may have been looking for a roofing company for the last past couple of weeks, but legitimate roofing companies are generally busy. Legitimate roofing companies don't solicit business because they're busy enough. So that's the first red flag. And we talk about red flags.
Yeah, let's talk about red flags. Can you tell us how do we protect ourselves?
So that's a key one, and in particular to roofing and renovation. It could be for painting your eaves troughs or fixing brickwork in your house and stuff like that. Companies like that are legitimate, mm-hmm. are busy. They don't need to knock on your door and say, hey, do you want me to reshingle your house? Because if you call a legitimate roofing company, they'll say, yeah, we can do it, but we'll be back in 6 weeks because we're busy. And that's a vulnerability that the fraudsters know. As soon as they offer, hey, I can start tomorrow. Hand me over the cash. Give me cash because I need to buy the shingles. I need to pay my crew. Give me cash and I'll be back tomorrow. So that's, you know, that's a vulnerability of somebody that they take advantage of. And that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. Or anything that's urgent when you're talking about grandparent scams, when you're talking about romance scams, any scam where they come up, where at some point in time they say, I need money and I need it now. That's a red flag. As soon as romance scams are big on the internet. As soon as that romance veers off into needing money, 99.9% you're a victim of a romance scam. Mm. And it's the same across the board for frauds.
Right.
For any frauds. As soon as they need money, that's the whole purpose of fraud.
Any fraud scams that come to mind that's really interesting, you think that I might be interested in hearing?
Well, it goes across the board. Literally, fraud is only limited by imagination. Like the fraudsters, I equate them to, I have a job as a police officer. People have jobs going to the bank 9 to 5. People go to work 9 to 5. Fraudsters wake up. It's their job. Their job is to trick people out of money, to steal your money by trickery. So whether it's these mass emails that they blow out, text messages, their sole purpose is committing fraud. Mm. I know recently, and they're able to change on a dime. They can adapt and they can, on March 28th, we had the federal budget was released.
Okay.
March 28th, federal budget. The budget minister announces the grocery rebate. So for people who were suffering in COVID, groceries got expensive. So the government said, okay, we're going to pay for lower middle income families. We're going to give you a grocery rebate. We're going to give you money. People don't need to do anything. They don't need to file extra tax files or forms or submit forms. They just need to file their taxes. Same as always. Within a week, less than a week, people were getting massive amounts of text saying, click on this link. This is from the federal government. We need you to click on this link and fill this form out so you'll get your grocery rebate.
Right.
The CRA put out a warning saying, don't fall for this, which is really, really rare for the CRA to do that.
That's right.
But that's what was happening because people would click on the link, they'd fill it out. And what are they filling out? Their name, their address, their phone numbers, possibly proof of identification. And that's what the fraudsters are after because now they've got your identity. Mm-hmm. Now they commit frauds with that. So that's just an example of how quickly they can adapt and change and take given any given day, they can adapt to it.
Yeah. I mean, this is so relevant. It just happened.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
Literally. It happened within 6 days. People were getting massive amounts of text messages and things. And it's so easy. We become numb to it because every day we get text messages, we get email messages, and they're getting better at it because technology is getting better. They're using better programs. They're using better methods so that the emails in the old days, and I'm talking 5-10 years ago, they would be common to have spelling mistakes in the web addresses and things like that. Those aren't happening anymore. Just this week, I was told by Facebook that I had to, my multi-factor authentication in Facebook had failed. So they needed me to log in again and provide my credentials. They'd locked my Facebook. I'm old. I have Facebook still. when I logged into Facebook, it wasn't locked. So what they wanted was for me to go in and get them around the multi-factor authentication because they couldn't get past it. So they want us to do it for them. Again, trickery.
This trickery is unbelievable. It's advancing so quickly.
Right.
And it's just like technology and AI, all of that combined.
Right.
What advice do you have for us to protect ourselves then?
It's the same thing, really. It's common sense. Like, use common sense. Mm-hmm. And that's not to speak down on victims or anything like that. When we speak to victims afterwards, almost always they say to us, I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. I knew it was a scam. The grandparents scam. They'll say, I knew it was a scam, but they still hand over the cash. And then they'll find out that it was a scam and they'll say, I knew it. Why didn't I listen to myself? So the number one thing we always tell people, listen to that little voice in the back of your head that's telling you something's wrong here. Other things are simple. Don't click on the messages. Don't click on emails. Don't click on text. What that's doing is it's giving fraudsters instant access to your electronic devices. It's giving them your contact list. It's giving you your email. It could be giving them your banking information. So don't click on links. There's really the government, the banks, police, financial institutions are not going to send really, really important messages to you and ask you to click links because they've already got that information. The fraudsters don't and they want it.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. So what impacts does fraud have on small businesses?
Right. So the small business on society itself, fraud creates distrust. So when we talk about fraudsters, we're still talking about such a small portion of society. We're talking about the 1% of 100. So 99% of people approaching you are good people. And that's how we are victimized by the 1% because we expect them to be good too. So 99% of these businesses that approach us are legitimate. But because of the distrust that fraud creates, it creates apprehension. It creates a lack of belief in them. And I can imagine that that affects their bottom line.
Okay, so we spoke about what's happening in the industry of fraud scams. Now, let's put on my hat. So I am a member of the public and I just got scammed.
Right.
What do I do? How do I connect with TPS and what's TPS's involvement?
Right.
Yes.
So if you've lost money, you definitely need to submit a police report. It's estimated that 5 to 10% of frauds are reported to police.
Why? Why so low?
Because people are, oftentimes they don't even know they've been defrauded. Oftentimes there's shame. There's embarrassment. There's a belief that, oh, they'll never get my money back. So why report it? It's not moist. That's a prevalent one. They don't think there's anything can be done. We'd like to get the message out that it can be done. And even if we don't get the money back, even if we don't arrest the person for your particular fraud, it provides us valuable information, which helps us to get them eventually, which helps us to spot trends, which helps us to be aware of methods. Mm-hmm. And then we can put out blanket messages to the public saying, don't fall for this. This is happening now. So it helps other victims not be victimized. So report it. If you've lost money, report it to police. You can report it to Toronto Police. That the non-emergency is generally best. Mm-hmm. 808-2222 is the non-emergency number. In addition to that, in Canada, we have the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre.
What's that?
It's a federally regulated unit, mm-hmm. department. Federal money is run by the OPP and the RCMP generally. And they compile statistics. So they compile all the statistics related to fraud. So they can tell you up to a given date how many millions of dollars of fraud. And the last numbers I saw at the end of March was over $25 million in lost money to frauds. So they compile statistics, which again helps us spot trends, helps us be aware of methods, helps us to get messages out to prevent it kind of thing. So it needs to be reported. And then protect yourself if your cards have been compromised. Contact your financial institution. Go into your bank. In person is always better. Call credit monitoring services like Equifax and TransUnion. They can put flags on your account so that if the fraudster opens up a new credit card in your name, they'll call you first and say, is this you kind of thing? So that protects you and stuff. It's really just important to be, you know, listen to the news, be aware of trends, and use common sense.
It's that common sense, yes. And so definitely report it to TPS. But TPS is one division. Do you work with other departments or what does that interconnection look like?
So absolutely. Like fraud is not, it's not localized to one community. It's a global scourge. It's across the country. It's in every single police service in the country and across North America. So what is absolutely essential to investigating financial crimes is partnerships. And that's partnerships with other police services. Technology, we can use it to our advantage too, because we're able to communicate with police services in Europe, in Asia, in United States, in South America and stuff like that. So we can use a lot of the advantages that fraudsters use to our advantage as well. And communication and partnerships is huge. That's one of the things, the improvements I've seen since I've been at Financial Crimes is an enhanced partnership and communication, information sharing between services. The grandparent scam is a perfect example of that. I receive on a daily basis emails from services across the country saying this phone number was used in this grandparent scam. This phone number was used because it's oftentimes the same people calling thousands of people, multiple victims across the country and using the same phone numbers. So we're then able to share that information and sometimes we can follow the numbers. We can follow the paperwork. We can follow the banks and all that kind of stuff. So inter-service cooperation is essential. Toronto Police also has, I could go on, financial institutions are a huge partner. We get it. That's where the frauds are occurring in the banks and things like that. So we have relationships with bank investigators. They have their own investigators. Our mass marketing section of Financial Crimes Unit has the Toronto Strategic Program. And what that is that's a group that is combined with Toronto Police. It has U.S. Postal Service, Canada Postal Service, Competition Bureau of Canada, RCMP, OPP, several different services. And they are a unit that works together in investigating mass marketing, which is you even get more transnational because it literally crosses the globe with mass marketing schemes. So partnership with FinTrack is another agency that is a government agency that tracks financial transactions that occur in the bank. So it follows the money. They're essential. Like they're crucial to many of our large investigations. They help us to follow the money. Mm-hmm. So that's a crucial partnership. And like I said, partnerships, we couldn't police frauds without partnerships with multiple agencies such as those.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think even internally, TPS has evolved and with other police services as well, they've evolved.
For sure.
Do you want to tell me about where you were before and how technology and everything has changed for you?
Yeah. I mean, as recently as 2 weeks ago, I would say one of the biggest improvements in financial crimes investigations for Toronto Police is we've created what's called the Central Fraud Intake Office. So it's brand new. It's literally 2 weeks old. So we don't know the full ramifications, but we're already seeing successes. And what that is prior to the Central Fraud Intake Office, frauds were reported in the city of Toronto and they would go out to the individual divisions in which they occurred. Mm-hmm. So there was no central intake. There was no central brain that understood the frauds that were coming in. That's changed now. All frauds come to us first. So
that's fantastic.
It's brilliant because now we're able to spot trends immediately.
And you said there was a success story.
We had a grandparent, the office is on the same floor as financial crimes. They're part of our unit. Officer came down and said, I've got a grandparent scam that just came across. Ordinarily, that would go in the file, that would be filed off to the division. It would sit in a pile because our divisional investigators are massively worked and have literally hundreds of occurrences. But he was able to bring us to us immediately. Our investigator was able to call the bank and put a stop to the money and recovered money like immediately. And that could not have happened before this happened. So I talked about statistics earlier with Canadian Anti-Fraud. We'll be able to maintain our own statistics now because we'll be compiling those ourselves. They're coming to us in a central form now. So that's a huge, huge improvement in financial crimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. What a good step forward.
Yeah.
And so just to end off, do you have a message for our listeners or any call to action that you'd like them to proceed with?
It's hard not to be too negative with people because you can really become paranoid. You can say things like never do this, never do that. But really people just need to be aware, mm-hmm. Be educated, understand the power of the internet, the power of social media, the instant access to people across the globe that it gives these fraudsters. So it's just kind of a daily, be aware, don't get numb to it. Like I said, if something happens, we get messages every day on our phone and it just takes one moment of you're tired or you're not paying attention or you don't really look at something and you just click on it. And that gives these people access to everything. So it's just be wary. Don't be paranoid. Don't live your life like, there's fraudsters around every corner. But just be wary, be educated.
Mm-hmm. And follow that little voice.
That's the same thing that we could have said before the internet. It's that little voice I tell people, especially when I'm talking to elderly people, it comes from experience. It comes from knowledge. It comes from life lessons. So listen to the little voice.
Mm-hmm. And I think one other thing to reiterate is our community, we have support. TPS is here to support you.
100%. And one of the other focuses that we have with Toronto Police now is a proactive approach. And sometimes that's being lost these days where policing is becoming almost more reactive than proactive. Financial crimes is one of those things where it can still be very, very proactive, in which we get out to communities, we educate the public, with the focus being on prevention before these frauds happen. It's hard to measure because you can't measure crimes that don't happen. But I like to think, and I'm positive and I'm optimistic that prevention is making an impact.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you so much. This was wonderful. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to 24 Shades of Blue. My name is Anime, and I will see you next episode.